Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Open your hearts and loosen your butts. It's time for couples therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's
Hey everyone, welcome to Couples Therapy. I'm Naomi.
I'm Andy.
And we are a couple of comedians. We are engaged. We host the live show Couples Therapy, where we have comics do sets together about their relationship. And on this podcast, we bring the best sets to you. How you doing, Andy?
How am I doing? Good, I think. You know what? Not good. I don't know. We're taping this. Aretha Franklin just passed away.
I know, girl.
And one of the foundations of our relationship, or will you say this, is that I watched a lot of television when I was a kid, a lot of black television.
Yeah, black sitcoms. And I was very, you know, Andy, growing up as a white boy in a very white section of Pennsylvania, we found ourselves bonding over the 90s television shows.
Yeah. So this makes sense. Aretha Franklin sang the theme song for A Different World.
Yes, she did. And she told us all the truth.
Can you imagine, by the way, I was listening to it a couple times today. Can you imagine now who was like the equal of Aretha Franklin now?
There is no equal to Aretha.
But you know what I mean? Like, who's in that world singing right. Like the Friends theme song? Like, right. who does theme songs now? Like, what, you know?
I know.
Can you imagine of like Prince singing the themes? I mean, obviously he passed away, but like him doing the theme song to Young Sheldon.
No, it had to be like a black show. It had to be like I don't know. Like, is there a dope theme song to Empire or something?
I don't know. I've never seen it.
I know. I wonder, like, but I feel like, yeah, it was all about, it's like, you got Aretha to do that theme song. You knew nobody was changing the channel. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like Aretha is the truth and the light. Okay. Do you remember when she like filled in for like Pavarotti?
Yes.
Okay. That's my favorite thing. Everyone keep talking about like Aretha. I'm like, Aretha filled in for Pavarotti. She was like, all right, let me do this opera real quick. It's like, she is everything.
I mean, truly, like, if let's pretend, listener, that you do not understand what the phrase black excellence means. That's it. If you are so good at what you do that you can just jump into an opera and right. Be like, yeah, I got it.
Yeah, like also like live on television. It's yeah. Not like, oh, let's go to the music room and see what we do. Aretha was like, where the camera at? I got some opera for you, bitch. And it was like,
yeah, this isn't some like 100-seat East Village opera house.
Ooh, I love this idea of an East Village opera house. What would be an East Village opera house?
You know, it's like they do from back in the like 40s and 50s, a lot of Yiddish theater. Yiddish opera.
Yiddish operas. Oh my God. It
Oy
was
so much Cirrus, the famous Yiddish opera. But yeah, so in the 90s, there was so much black television.
Yeah.
That, you know, what we got? 227, Amen, Different World, Cosby Show, obviously tainted now by a monster, but still. And at the time.
I mean, all of it. So many shows. It was a time.
Homeboys in Outer Space.
Homeboys in Outer Space was the beginning of the end. It's when the tide started to
UPN,
turn.
When it, like when
it, like the tide turned. The tide turned. But no, it was like there were so many shows, and it was such a time where you were like, oh, yeah, I could do that. I could do that. You know, I feel like now there's like...
You're saying I could be an actor.
Yeah, me you're as a kid that. Watching that. Other things, like, I wanted to be an actor. I was like, I grew up on black TV, you know? My formative years were watching black people on television. I was like, yes, please, and thank you. Yeah. And then, you know...
But things, I think you've always
things
said...
Things changed in the aughts.
You've always said, you're like, Andy, did you think you would fall in love with a black woman?
Right.
And I'm saying, like, well, I never thought who I would fall in love with in the first place, but, like... The horizon of possibilities in terms of ethnicity of my sweet wife would never like dawn on me that you couldn't be black, right?
Wow. Oh, God. My God. He was woke before there was woke. It never dawned on Andy that I couldn't be black. Well, hello, mister. So proud of you. I am so proud of you. It's funny. It's so interesting, though, when you talk, like, when you say you're like, I never thought about it. So much of my, like, middle school and teen years was thinking about it. It was all about the list of the man and thinking about people. I was, like, always having crushes. I was a very intense crush person. You know what I mean? And then, honey, I discovered Ani DiFranco in 9th grade, and it was a wrap. Okay? All those emotions went to a 20.
I had tons of crushes, but, like, I wasn't limiting my eros to a certain ethnicity.
Your eros was unbridled?
Yes.
Unbridled eros.
Unbridled eros. Yes. That's what it was.
Oh, my God. That
oh, man.
Too good. You guys, are you ready to hear our first set?
Speaking of unbridled eros.
I know. I was going to say, like, there's a wonderful segue into our first set from The Virgil in Los Angeles, a show we did just in August. This first set is from John Gamberling and Andrea Rosen.
Before you go to their bios, hold on. Genuinely, when I started at UCB, like, these people were some of my favorites. Like, Andrea was doing stand-up. John was on an improv team called Death by Ruru, which was and always will be my favorite improv team at UCB.
Yeah. He reminds me a lot. You guys are similar to me.
Yes.
In, like, a very similar essence. You guys, I'll tell you what we're talking about, okay? John Gamberling and Andrea Rosen are actors and improvisers who are also married. You've seen John Gamberling on a lot of shows like Broad City, Marry Me, and The President Show, where he recently played Steve Bannon, and it was hilarious. Andrea is the creator and star of the show Take Me to Your Mother, and you've seen her on other shows like Episodes, Get Shorty, and Wet Hot American Summer 10 years later. So you guys... Buckle in for two weirdos who are deep in love. Get ready, loosen them butts for John Gamberling and Andrea Rosen.
Roll it.
Hi.
Hi, you guys.
Hi. We're married.
We didn't have these shirts made for this show.
No.
We have had them for many years.
We just have these shirts.
We just have them.
And the way you say it is, our mommy and daddy dressed us the same but in different colors so she could tell us apart. And that means that we're so similar, we're like twins. The only way you can tell us apart is dress us different colors.
And, like, I guess in this scenario, we're brother and sister. And we don't really know who our mommy is, but it just doesn't matter.
It's like Muppet Babies. Mommy's just a pair of legs, and we're just incestuous, identical twin babies.
Baby lovers?
Well, we wanted to talk about very early on, we were a very cute couple.
We met on a Verizon commercial. John got tangled up in a plant in the commercial and tripped over. And I was like, ooh, I like that. Stunt guy.
The commercial was like Verizon's business. It was like not a phone commercial. It was like their like ancillary business technology thing. And the company that we worked at in the commercial We didn't plan on describing this commercial, but the company that we worked at in the commercial was not using Verizon. They were using the fucking fuck-up guys, and somehow their cooling system went crazy and was blowing air everywhere, and I got blown over by wild air. And then Verizon came, and somehow they fixed
Saved.
It.
Save the day.
It was not a commercial that aired much, because I don't think it applied to anything that anybody wanted to buy from Verizon.
But that's how we met, right? And then you had a girlfriend.
Andrea asked me if I had a girlfriend as we were meeting.
I did. I was like, "What?" I was like, "What's your name?" And he said, "John." And I was like, "Do you have a girlfriend?" And he said, "Yes." And I was like, "Ugh." And then should I tell the other part of it?
Sure.
And then 2 days later, I was at a different audition for a different commercial, and I was talking to this guy who I knew John. And I was like, I have such a big crush on a guy, you know, and I was talking this loud, but without the microphone, but I may as well have had a microphone. I was screaming, and there were tons of other people there, and he was like, "Oh, who is it?" And I was like, "John Gimberling!" Right? Why was I talking that loud? Because that's how I talk. And this girl, like, whips around. She goes, "That's my boyfriend." And I was like, "I don't even know him. We don't know each other. I just said it because they were just words that I strung together. They're meaningless. I'm no threat. Don't worry about it." And then that was his girlfriend for like the next 2 years.
Later that day, I saw her, my girlfriend, and she was like, "You'll never believe what happened. This, like, Andrea Rosen, I saw her, and she was saying, like, she has this huge crush on you. Like, can you believe that?" And I was like, but we stuck it out for two and a half years.
But in the middle of during that 2.5 years when he was still dating her, I like happened to catch a huge fish, an actual fish, and I hold a world record, right? So I caught.
She was fishing. She didn't just fall into the Thames and.
No, I was fishing, and I'm like in the International Game and Fishing
There's
Association.
Fish in the Thames.
And, anyway, I caught the biggest permit fish. That's a kind of fish. I hold the women's world records. No big thing, but
42-pound permit fish on an 8-pound test line.
I was in Sport.
By a woman.
I was in Sport Fishing magazine. They were like Andrea Rosen of Brooklyn, New York, right? And there's a picture of me in fishing garb, which is like huge sunglasses. I think my dad's huge fishing shirt. Like bandana, baseball hat, like just, you know, like white, you know, white sunscreen everywhere. And didn't she come home one time and isn't there a part of it? You were like,
"Oh no, I didn't know that I had any part of this."
Oh, I thought you were jerking off
what?
To my picture. Did I make that up? Did I make that up?
I don't know. She never. I certainly wouldn't have been jerking off to the fishing magazine. I would have used
That's
a computer
so weird.
Or something.
I had it in my mind that you had it up, and she was like, "Were you just jerking off to this?" And you were like, "No, I may."
That does ring a bell. Maybe there was like pictures of you.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a fishing magazine.
Either. Oh, it wasn't?
I didn't go to a newsstand and buy the fishing magazine.
But that picture's up online. We did prepare this, but not this part.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, I jerked off. Fine. I jerked
off.
It's
okay if you didn't.
I can't remember that exact story, but I'll say that I jerked off.
I'm sorry. I thought he did.
I did, but I don't know. She was very jealous, but.
She was? Of me?
Well, I mean, I guess I was, like, jerking off.
Anyway, we branded ourselves as a cute couple early on, I guess.
We were really annoying to people.
Yeah.
We were mommy and baby. We were each other's mommies and baby.
Each other's
one of
babies.
Us wasn't mommy and one wasn't baby. We were both mommy.
And both baby.
Which I think is healthy. I think it's like, you know, we care for each other. We can be cared for. And we care for each other.
Yeah. Yeah. And we also talked in a baby voice a lot.
We talk, we're very talking like mommy.
And baby. And then it kind of morphed into, now we don't do mommy and baby as much. Now we call each other Mary.
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 I think it started as a Jimmy Stewart impression, saying Mary and Wonderful Life. And he's like, Mary, yeah. Oh, Mary, I want to put a lasso around the sun and feed it to you. I don't know what he says. He's like, he like almost rapes her in that movie, I think.
I think so, yeah.
She's like, give me my clothes. He's like, oh, well. Watch It's a Wonderful Life. It's good. Frank Capra. So we call it, we're both Mary. And then we just sort of get locked into the Mary voice.
We have two kids, and one of them gets really mad at us when we call each other Mary, because he's like, you can't both be Mary, because he's like a man and I'm a woman, so he has to be Maury. Isn't that so uptight for a four-year-old, right?
We had to change it to Maury.
Yeah, so it's really hard for us. I still am like, Mary, and he's like, it's Maury, and he's 4 years old. It's kind of obnoxious.
And we have skill. We can sing. We're very good at making up songs together in harmony.
Harmony.
Would you want us to do it? A new Terry Canurina. She always hits the same note as me. She won't do harmony. But there's a related skill we do. the single note, and this is sort of trippy. This gets sort of weird. You do it in each other's faces, and you hit the same note, so the sound wave is like, you sync up that sound wave.
I start or you start?
We'll just find it. Okay. If you do it right into each other's mouths, you feel the sort of buffeting of the sound wave. It's pretty cool.
It's cool.
If anybody's like, you know, you smoke a little grass.
One time my friend Sam was like, you guys can have my country house this weekend. And we were like, oh, cool.
Wait, let me do the voicemails first, because that's a heightening.
Oh, right. Okay.
I'm going to play you... just a sample. This is how anal I am. I have like hours of voicemails saved from like 10 years ago that she's left me. And this is just a sample of them, three of them. But there's many, many. And this is before you could send the voicemail directly from your phone. So this is me recording from the phone into GarageBand on my laptop. And just like muting the files. Okay. And I had to output these today. So here's one. Volume's up on the phone.
Mommy, I'm calling to tell you that I'm a bunny bean.
This is her.
And they have fluffy paws. And they stomp, stomp, stomp when I think of you.
Sounds like a child, right? Here's another one.
Monkey, love me. Hi,
hours.
Last one.
I'm Mama Gemma. How's my mother? I'm loving you so much. I'm loving you so much, you little snuffer bugger. You're my little snuffer bugger. You're my little snuffer bugger. God bless you.
If you didn't hear it at the end, it ends with, God bless you.
Okay, so should I talk about Sam's house? So yeah.
Sorry. Sorry. Go ahead.
My friend Sam said, I have this country house. Do you guys want to have it for the Christmas break? And I was like, yeah, because we don't want to spend it with our parents. So we rented a car. This was when we lived in New York. We rented a car. We drove upstate to Sam's house, like near Woodstock, but really in the boonies, Margaretsville. We get there. We really have to take a shit. Both of us have to shit so badly. And I'm like, I don't know where the key is to the front door. And he's like, oh, you didn't read the email? And I was like, no. So then we had to like drive like 10 more miles to find a place where there was internet so that I could read the email. And the email said the key is like right under the mat. And I was like, it's under the mat. And he's like, we should have just looked there. And I was like, yeah. So 10 more miles back. And by this point we really had to take a shit. Like shit was like on the verge of just like jumping out of our assholes, both of us. And so we opened the door, and it's like barely a house. It was like there was a wall missing.
It was
missing.
Under construction. It's winter time.
It's winter. There was a wall missing. There were power tools in the living room. There was mouse shit everywhere in this kitchen.
It was like tarped. It was like some were walls and some were just tarps, like blowing in the
wind. She didn't really tell us the state of the house. Or if she did, I forgot. So we were racing to find a bathroom. Neither of us had ever been there before.
We had to turn the water on.
Oh, yeah. We had
to turn the pipes on. So we turned that on, and the pipe starts spraying water.
Yeah.
Because it had frozen.
Yeah.
And cracked. I don't know if you know what water does, but it expands when it freezes and cracks. Does everybody know that about water? Expands when it freezes. A lot of things contract when they freeze. Not water. Water expands. Anyway.
Right. So the pipes were frozen. The toilets had just frozen water in them. You can't. We couldn't like shit huge piles of shit on top of frozen water.
Imagine toilet water, like the water level toilet, but just frozen, like a placid pond.
Yeah.
Just frozen in the toilet.
So John's like, what are we going to do? There's like it's nighttime. There are no houses in sight. There are no stores. There's nothing. We're in the middle of nowhere.
The only thing near was just across the street was a big cemetery.
That's right.
Just graves.
So I was like, so I went through, I opened up cabinets in the kitchen. I didn't even know what my plan was. And then I found a stack of paper plates, and I was like, okay, this is what we're going to do. So I, like, handed John a stack of paper plates, and I took a stack for myself. I was like, let's go outside and do this. So we went outside, and we were facing each other, and we pulled our pants down. We were like dogs. You know when dogs have to shit so badly, they're, like, circling? We faced each other. We were laughing so hard. And we put the paper plates between our legs and took the hugest dumps of our lives.
Eye contact the whole time. And just like plates of, like if you think of like a heaping hot plate of food.
It was cold outside. It was so it was literally steaming. We did get the light. A while ago.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
We wanted to talk about how we'll wrap it up.
Yeah, we should wrap it up.
But it's hard.
Being married is so hard.
It's hard.
It's good, but hard.
But then you have hard times. We've had hard times.
We've had to, and then we go to marriage counseling.
We do go to counseling. It's hard.
She doesn't know about this shit on the paper plate.
Let's tell her.
Julie, there's something we haven't told you about.
It's hard when you are a cute couple and you have that identity and then things get hard and you don't know what you are anymore.
And John has OCD and I don't like that.
It's annoying to her and she withdraws from me. But
we have different threat systems.
Threat responses.
Responses.
And I come to her, but she wants to go away. But that makes me more anxious when to come.
And then that kicks up his OCD.
She told me she thought I was going to kill her, crush her spirit.
Right, not physical, but spiritual.
But I didn't want, that was not my intention.
I know that wasn't your intention.
Feel that
I
way.
Know that wasn't your intention, but and that is how I felt.
Anybody out there, you just gotta work on it and just love each other. Thank you.
Guys.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Henry Rollins, aging punk icon, Henry Rollins.
I'm not familiar. Wait, was he on Z Nation?
I love that your knowledge of Henry Rollins is that he had a 3-episode arc on the sci-fi show Z Nation.
That's how I keep up to date, honey. It's like if I see you on a sci-fi joint and I do your IMDb, that's how I'll get to know you. That's how I'll get to know you. I don't keep up.
I believe
he played
a coach in Jack Frost, perhaps.
What Jack Frost? About wait, the snowman?
Yeah, Michael Caine was in the snowman. I believe he was also in. Anyway, if anyone wants to look up Henry Rollins' IMDb. I believe he was in Johnny Mnemonic.
Okay, I don't know why you know so much about this man. I've never heard you mention this man's name until tonight, and now you're rattling off his deep cuts.
In the last 2 years, the political situation being what it is, I've started to listen to a lot of like early 80s punk again.
Ooh!
Minor Threat. Black Flag. Henry Rollins was in Black Flag. That's his.
Were those racist groups?
No.
I don't know 80s punk, but the imagery I have, you know what I mean? Like white guys in Timberland boots and they're angry. And so I assume if you're angry, you're racist.
So you
Isn't that horrible? That like I hear rage and I'm like, he's coming for me.
I just want to point this out. You think that because we live, we don't want to talk about politics here. But we live in a living hell. Where Nazis feel emboldened to me being Jewish, me being anti-fascist, me wearing an Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez t-shirt.
Okay, baby, you be donating.
You think that I would be like, you know what? I want to listen to some racist punk music.
No, I just don't know. Like a lot of that, I don't know, Andy. I'm just asking. You don't ridicule me for my curiosity. Even though, oh my God, what if I started going to those punk shows being like a black barbecue Becky? These white men are yelling and I feel unsafe. I wonder if anyone would come, you know? How quickly would they arrive?
I did, when I was a teenager, growing up in Pennsylvania, I did go to a punk show at a VFW. And I didn't know any of the bands. It was just like a friend was like, oh, we should go to this. That's, you know, there's nothing else. It's fucking Reading, Pennsylvania. What else are we going to do? And so we went and I was looking through the 7 inches and like a bunch of them I start to notice a pattern of swastikas. And I'm just like, maybe I should not be here.
Good night. Because like I was a slow fucking retreat.
Yeah. I was Hasidic at the time. So it was real.
Oh, okay. That was a tricky part.
Peos, the Talis, everything. I'm just going to keep saying Hebrew words.
I love it. I love when you speak in your people's native tongue.
Barakhu et Adonai Hamvarak.
Baruch et Adonai Eloheinu Melchalam Asher Harbarbanu.
Mikol
Vahamin Venatan Lanu et Torato Baruch et Adonai Notena Torah.
Amen.
That's what happens when you go to too many bar and bat mitzvahs in seventh grade. I will bring you half Torah portion realness.
Yes, I did. I brought half Torah portion realness to the Virgil, and they didn't see it coming. And that wasn't even my best recitation. I'm almost embarrassed, you know, but that's where I was at.
Yeah.
That's what I could do in that moment.
So it's just a short clip of us talking in between sets at the August show, but it made me think about talking about music.
Yeah.
Because you and I like very different kinds of music.
We are musical opposites.
Obviously, I said I listened to Minor Threat and Black Flag as a youth, and you did not know what those words meant.
But yet we do come together musically. Yeah. We have fun.
We do. Well, I used to be an indie rock band,
mm-hmm.
and while I don't write indie rock songs anymore, I do write songs around the house. I like be humming to myself. So this, we want to play you some music that we've written together. Or that I've written just like around the house. I want to show you this song. So I've been doing a lot of like clerical work lately, a lot of emailing, a lot of like scheduling stuff and not a lot of creative stuff. And I've been feeling tons of anxiety. And I would like wake up at 3 a.m, Naomi, just like rife with anxiety.
I know. I like roll over and suddenly I got the whole bed to myself. I start starfishing, like laying flat, fully
like a starfish.
Yes, I just like lay flat and I'm like, I guess he's on the couch. And so that's how I know you're gone.
Yeah. And I was humming this song and I'm like, I'm just going to record this. I spent an hour just recording the song and the anxiety is so much less now. That's the power, guys, the power of creating.
That's the power of music.
So when I quick play you this first song I wrote, it's called Everything in the World is All Right. Anna, roll it, please.
Everything in the world is all right. I lied to escape from my fright. But maintaining that lie, I'm drained and barely alive. Everything in the world is all right. I'm never going to die. I say to myself before sleep every night. Then I wake up every hour screaming into the void.
feel uplifted and concerned.
Well, no. Now I got those negative feelings out.
Right. In a very catchy way, I must say.
Thank you.
You're very good at like making it catchy. Even though it's not necessarily my genre, I'm like, you'll leave me humming. You'll leave me humming it, you know? I think we've really found a nice crossover moment in our musical interests, yeah. Our musical love. Because I do like to, I make up songs too. I just don't have the capacity to play any instruments. So I just start to sing fake lyrics I make up in the house. And then you'll try to give them a little life, right?
Yeah. Oh, like, well, what
like
about
our next joint we went to play. Like, this is a prime example. So Andy and I started watching Castle Rock on Hulu, okay? And
Started watching, which much like a lot of the shows we watch, means you've seen the first handful of episodes, and then you're like, I can't deal with this anymore. And then I continue watching. Not because it's bad or anything like that. I'm very much enjoying Castle Rock. But it's, I don't know what it is. Is it like the anxiety of having to like keep watching?
It's the anxiety and like also what this song is about. Because basically, so Andre Holland is the lead. He was adopted as a young boy by a white woman in Castle Rock. He the only black man in Castle Rock. They need to call Castle Rock Little Rock. Little Rock 1. Because Andre Holland is up in here walking through Castle Rock. Nobody trusts him or believe him. And I said, I can't watch him be under siege. I was out. And immediately started singing a silly song about it. And then because you, like, every silly idea I have in my head, you are always inspired to codify and make real, which is so validating. We made a song called The Only Black Man in Castle Rock. Give it a listen.
He's the only black man in Castle Rock. A town so white could be Noah Baumbach. He's the only black man in Castle Rock. They say he's a killer and that's no shock. Andre Holland's reliving the nit tonight.
So, you know, that's a short little something. And when we say he's reliving the nick, that's from the other show Andre Holland was in where he was the only black doctor. I'm done with him being the only black anything. Give him a space to be safe.
I believe he's the only black man in the one season sitcom, 1600 Penn.
Oh my God, Andre Holland. He needs a safe space.
And he was in Moonlight.
Oh, that's true. That's true. That's so true. Yeah. He's found comforting
arms.
He's found
arms. A safe space.
He's found a comforting arm. And guys, just one more. You know, this is another one where I started joshing around the house. I was goofing, very much inspired by my antidepressants. All right. The cocktail was working and it had me feeling punchy. So I started goofing around and Andy, ever the creator, decided to put a little music to it. And we would love to play it for you live.
Guys, do you feel the energy?
Do you feel the crackling energy in the studio?
Do you feel like it's the Who? You're witnessing the Who on the radio, a band neither of us really cares about.
I'm not familiar with their work. I've really? Heard of them. I've heard of them. Don't start with me, Andy. Don't be surprised. You guys, we're going to play you a little song. We can thank my psychopharmacologist, honestly, for the inspiration. And here we go, Andy. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to do a vocal warm up. Yep.
One, two, three.
Wellbutrin. I'm feeling my Wellbutrin. Now I seem to know how to have fun. Wellbutrin. Well, tell me how heavy you've been. Cause I haven't wanted to see anyone. Until Wellbutrin, emotions it is mutant. I know how to be part of the world. Extended release tablets erased all of my madness, and now I feel like a normal girl.
Woo! Y'all get better now, you hear?
So you see, we took it in a country place because that's what happens on your Wellbutrin, all right? 300 milligrams. Get you milligrams.
Milligrams. That's what I call my tiny grandmother.
The point is the medication's working, and I encourage you all to take a multi-pronged approach to your mental health.
So I hope you guys enjoy this. We thought we would just like try something new. You know, we're like, what, 10 episodes in? We thought we'd try something new.
Yeah, just
play around. Because I wanted to say this because, you know, a foundation of our relationship is singing fun, weird songs together.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, I will be haunted by the fact that I was very pitchy at the end. I didn't close it out as strong as I thought. But you know what? I'm going to stay true to the moment. We're not going to re-record it, okay? We are going to play the song as it stands. And yes, if you'd like an extended version, perhaps that becomes a bonus episode. Who knows? Let's think about it for a future.
Sell this baby for 99 cents on iTunes.
Okay, you guys, I hope you enjoyed that. We're going to go to a commercial and come right back.
Hey, y'all. Wanted to pop in real quick and let you know that if you like what you hear and you want to support the show, there are a couple different ways.
Most of our support comes from our wonderful Patreon community. For $5 a month, you get 2 bonus episodes of just us mostly spilling the tea and occasionally searching for crazy bread in Los Angeles, plus lots of other bonus content. We love our page pals, and we couldn't do this without you. And if you want to join, go to patreon.com/couplestherapypod.
We also have merch, which includes Gotta Miss a Bitch and Jubu t-shirts, yeah, which you can find in the link tree in our Twitter or Insta bios.
And for absolutely $0, you can rate and review the show on Apple.
5 stars, please. It'll only take 10 seconds, and it helps us tremendously. Okay, that's it. We love you deeply. Now back to the show.
Welcome back from that commercial, guys. I bet you're still reeling from all the music you heard. You know, it's in your head now. You're excited about the state of the world. You are about to watch Castle Rock. You're going to call your doctor.
You're going to clip out all of those and make MP3s that he can listen to on repeat. And be like, damn, those guys are good songwriters. Why isn't Ariana Grande hiring them for her next album?
Oh, God is a woman. Guys, we would love to play you one more live set. Again, something wonderful from our August show at the Virgil in LA. This is a set from Jess Wood and Baron Vaughn, hilarious comedians who perform all over the country. Jess Wood has been on Gotham Comedy Live, Access TV, and she hosts the podcast Get Wood. You may know Baron from his roles on Grace and Frankie, Corporate, the new Mystery Science Theater 3000. He's also the co-host of the comedy show, The New Negroes, which will premiere on Comedy Central next year.
I believe you're on that, are you not?
You quit tooting my horn, baby. Quit tooting my horn.
I believe you do a set.
All right, guys.
It was great. I was there.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. But we got another great set for you. Baron and Jess. Here you go. Roll it.
This is my good friend Jess Wood,
and
right
this is
here.
One of my best friends in the world, Baron Vaughn, the very talented and hilarious.
We are an interracial, intergendered friendship.
It's true.
We met a fucking long ass time ago. We were just trying to figure out how long ago it was. Was it 03?
I want to say it was 03.
So we met in 2003.
2003.
Has anyone else here known anyone else in the room for 15 years? All right, you bragging motherfuckers.
So we're on stage. One-sided conversation.
We met doing comedy in an alternative room in New York City.
Alt.
The alt comedy scene.
When there were clear fucking divisions. If you walked into a room and Eugene Merman was there, you knew what you were in for.
Alt.
Now you don't know. It might be Eugene Merman, Kevin Hart on the same show. You don't know.
It's exciting out here.
What was the show that we met at? Do you remember?
I think it was called Sweet Paprika.
Oh, yeah. Sweet Paprika back in the day in New York. Yes. Two people. Remember that show? Yes. It was at the Village Lantern, right?
Yes. A on musky, Bleecker. Musky bar.
So, does anybody know the Village Lantern in New York City? A couple people. We met at Sweet Paprika.
Yeah.
And then we kind of liked each other's comedy.
Yeah, we liked each other's comedy, but we really bonded because we found out a little bit about one another, about our history in comedy so far. And what had happened was, I was told by the club owners and the clubs that I was too black to play the white rooms. My best friend Baron here was told
that I was too white to play the black rooms.
So we became pals because we were like, how come we can't be ourselves?
Yeah, they're like,
this is weird.
Let's make a middle.
And then we
never did.
I haven't done that yet. Not yet.
Jess, are you the only white woman that was on Def Comedy Jam?
I don't know. I was the first. That's what I know.
Jess was the first white woman on Def Comedy Jam.
It's been tremendous. It's been a tremendous ride. I want to thank everybody for looking out for me. They didn't include me in the 25-year anniversary. It was really fucked up.
I'm like,
Rich Voss, I was, hey. But,
oh, man, yeah.
What are you going to do?
We connected for each other's, I guess, wildness.
Yeah.
Darkness.
Sadness.
That sadness and depression.
A lot of anxiety.
It can bring people together. We sing sometimes.
When we're nervous.
Yeah. Never cry. Never cry. Sing all the time.
Never cry.
What's that about?
Sorry. We're tough out here. Alt.
And Jess's secret, which is not so secret, which is that you are a native Los Angelino.
I am. She, I have this tattoo of, that says Los Angeles. How many people ask me, are you from L.A.? No, Madison. Madison, Wisconsin. Just thought I'd give you a little shout out on my fucking muscles. What the fuck? Weird. I got this from a friend of mine. I did grow up here. Hung out with some people in the streets. The guy that actually did this, gang member type. And he goes, the L represents. And I was like, stop right now. You can stop explaining what it represents. Like, I can't.
My favorite thing about since Jess has moved back to Los Angeles, which is how long ago was this?
Only 2 years.
A couple years ago. Because we met in New York and you were there for like a long ass time. A big thing that brought you back, and it's something that we connected on, because basically, like, you know, whilst we're not a couple, we have been each other's therapists. We've witnessed all the different relationships we've had over the last 15 years. And a big thing that has come up for both of us is our fathers, right? Hey. Some of you had some. You're very lucky.
Some got daddy issues. I thought we were doing another song. Got nervous.
Because you started coming here when you were looking for this dude.
Yes.
Can you tell these people?
These nice people.
That story.
Yes. Thank you, Baron. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, my mother told me that my dad wasn't my real dad. A little late in life, huh? Don't you think? And, but my mom, wild gal. And it was the 70s, Chessie. Come on, you're so uptight. I came out here a few years ago and I did some DNA swabbing with a man who was on the lam for 35 years. I'd never met a drug dealer on the lam. Very true. He dealt coke to Richard Pryor. I wanted him to be my dad so badly, you guys. Oh, daddy. And daddy. And sorry. And we did some swabbing in his Mercedes. And I was like, Mercedes, I was raised on welfare. You might owe me a dollar or two. So that was exciting. And but we sent it away, and he used an alias on the envelope, which I thought was so cool and criminal. And you know how you always like want someone like your dad when you pick a boyfriend? I was like, oh, this explains it. Like, if this is the guy, all I've had are criminals. So and it you wasn't
were
him.
But you were excited about this dude, too, because he was the only person that was honest
he
with
was
you
really,
the entire time.
Yes.
You got some Dodgers.
Yeah, the guy that I grew up with, like, getting dropped off at his house, when I called him and said, hey, you know, my mom just said, you know, maybe there's a DNA thing. And he was like, do you want a list of all the dudes your mother was fucking when we were together? And I was like, no. And, you know, but then a couple months into the search, I was like, do you have that list?
Write it in Wingdings.
So it's been an adventure.
Right. And then I met mine 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And that was, he's in New Mexico, if anybody wants to see him. I know where he is now. Isn't that fucking crazy? And, because we met in a park in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I made a documentary about it because that's who I am. I was like, personal moment, better get some fucking cameras there. This is not just for me. This is for Amazon Prime. My way of fusion doesn't exist anymore. Actually, I don't know. But, you know, we were kind of talking with each other a lot because there's a lot of processing about, like, these men that we never knew in some sort of way because I kind of, and this is what we do mostly, like, we process with each other. When we meet, we're just kind of like, how are you feeling? We're just kind of always trying to remind each other to love ourselves.
Yeah, love ourselves better.
Right.
What was happening to you personally when you found your father, though, at the same time that you found him?
Well, at the same time that I was finding this dude, I was finding out about becoming a father. Is that what you're trying to talk about?
Yeah. Set up. Come on, go with it. Jesus.
Right? Cycle broken.
Just in case anyone's wondering how you do it, show up once. And this fucking, the whole cycle does it. This is another thing, because we both say dark shit with a smile. I guess I would be, you know, some people would describe us as intense sometimes.
Yeah.
But I think that's what probably brought us together, is this mutual intensity that we can just kind of, you know, fuck with each other on that level, and it doesn't weird us out in that sort of a way where I'm just kind of like, I'm at my father, don't know what any of that means, bye. And she's like, never gonna meet mine, don't know, bye. Sort of a thing. And that's then we kind of, it loops into all these different relationships and stuff. Yeah, thank you. What else should we talk about that we are? I wanted to talk about Criff Dogs.
You didn't want to talk about it. Sure, I used to work at a hot dog restaurant.
There's a hot dog spot City. In New York in the East Village called Criff Dogs. And when I had no money, Jess was working there, and I could just fucking eat a hot dog every day, which sounds ridiculous now, but saved my fucking life every single day. Lost a pair of Tims there. I remember that. Tims I was carrying around in a plastic bag all day for no fucking reason. And I was just like, I'm going to lose these. If I put these down, I'm going to lose them. And I got there. I'm like, yes, it's here. I won't forget. And then I left, and I'm like, my Tims. But basically every eighth customer to come into Criff Dogs like was a size 12 Timberland boots. So those shits were gone just like that. But that's where we spent the most time together, I would say.
It's true. They had a bong in the kitchen.
Yeah, what was it like working there? Because you...
My boss, this kind of wraps it up. My boss was a very large Jewish guy who loved bacon wrap hot dogs and had covered in tattoos. And he fought a lot of people that would come in. He fought customers a lot. And there were cameras everywhere in the restaurant. And this one time, someone came in, I believe he was French, the customer. And he came in, he was like, oh, this hot dog is not, it's no good. And he like did a spit.
You know how French people are.
Yeah, but he did a spit into the counter. And the girl that was
Wait, he did a French spit?
The French spit.
Like they go, these hot dogs are not good.
Yeah, he did a
spit. Like he spit with a P and a T in it?
Exactly. Yes.
That's a French spit.
And because the boss was upstairs all the time, the girl at the counter ran upstairs and she said, hey, this guy just spit in the thing. And he's like, who fucking spit? And so he ran downstairs and he literally attacked this man in the restaurant. I mean, two girls were having, you know, tater tots and milkshakes. And all of a sudden this French guy's like, ooh, c'est alors! And he just goes for the fucking, on the Pac-Man machine, you know. It was very hip there.
The exact kind of place to grow a friendship.
Yes.
The exact kind of spot.
Thank you, Baron.
Where big people fight French people. That's where you will find me and Jess.
That's true.
Whenever a big man has to fight a French spitter, I'll be there. Whenever a dad refuses to swab, we will be there.
It's true.
Anyway.
Thanks, Baron.
That's it for us. Thank you very much, everybody. Back to Andy and Naomi.
Criff Dogs. Naomi, do you remember Criff Dogs?
Yes, I do. And did you know there was like a secret you would go through Criff Dogs and there was what looks like a phone booth and you would go through that phone booth to a bar called PDT? Please don't tell.
Please don't tell.
Yes, and you have to like call to make a reservation. It was like very hip and cool.
Is that
like
a DL bar?
I don't know what... No, it's not. Whatever DL means, it's not. It was like a regular bar, but it was supposed to be hip.
Go back and listen to... The episode with Elliot and Brent, if you want to know what I'm talking about. Episode 3. Great episode. Speaking of great episodes, this was a great episode, Naomi.
It was a real fun time. We really kind of, we bared our souls playing the music that we just play in the house.
Oh, yeah. There's, I think that was maybe, I know we've talked about like other like, you know, emotional and kinds of things, but I feel like that was maybe our most vulnerable.
Oh, completely. Completely.
But thank you guys so much for listening. Before we go, though, we have some stuff to tell you. You can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. If you could, please rate and review it. We need your ratings and reviews. We're like Gollum, and your ratings and reviews are our precious.
Yes. Hit us up on social at Andy and Naomi. On Twitter, at Couples Therapy Pod on Instagram.
Also on Twitter, there's us individually, at Blacktress for Naomi and at Andy Beckerman for... Moi.
Yes.
I'm a Miss Piggy fanatic, so whenever I refer to myself, I'm always moi. Also, guys, If you live in Los Angeles, you should come see us live. The next live show is October 6th at the Virgil at 8 p.m. Great lineup so far. Max Silvestri and Gabe Liedman. Alice Wetterlund's going to be on. Very excited for this one. If you go to couplestherapypod.com, you can get tickets under See Us Live. Also, we have merch. You hear me say all the time how excited I am about having t-shirts and stuff. I could not be more thrilled. We have a Open Your Hearts, Loosen Your Butts t-shirt. I plotzed when I saw what the t-shirt company made.
It is very tasteful. It is very tasteful.
It is.
And on brand. You will love it. So get yourself a t-shirt, baby.
Yeah. Again, on couplestherapypod.com, there's a little tab that says store. So you can get stuff there. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. Come back next week. And in the meantime, I hope your lives are delicious. With that, I mean, I hope you eat lots of mozzarella sticks.
Bye.
See ya.